Well, you know, a number of years ago, we had the opportunity to go to a place called Berlin. And I don't know, has any of you ever been in Berlin? Anybody here? I'm alone in this. So back in 1983, we were in Berlin, and we had the opportunity of traveling from West Berlin into East Berlin. And as you know, back in 1961, the Berlin Wall was built. The main reason was that the Germans, the East Germans, were fleeing over to West Germany. They saw there's a lot of problems there, and they wanted to get out as fast as possible. So what they did is the communist Germany, in their wisdom, they built this great wall, similar to what our dear friend Donald Trump wants to build down in the States. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but they built this wall, and we were there a number of years ago, and as you can see, here's a picture of the wall after it was built, and we were there a number of years ago, and we went to a place called Checkpoint Charlie. And interesting thing about this place, Checkpoint Charlie is an American checkpoint that you need to go through to get into East Berlin. We were on the west, and they had a huge peace rally at that time. The streets were lined with people, and people were celebrating, they were crying for peace. And Sunday morning, we went through Checkpoint Charlie to East Berlin, and it was eerily quiet. There were soldiers on every corner with machine guns, and there was a heavy oppression that we felt. And I'm thinking, oh man, I am so glad I don't live here. And when they built the wall, and you probably know this, there was a number of people that tried to get across. One of the first person that got across was a picture of the soldier up in the left-hand corner there that jumped the wire. They built a wall to absolutely separate families. And so you see this one soldier who tried to bring a child back to his mom and dad. Actually, after this picture was taken, this soldier was never seen again. And you know, I thought about the Berlin Wall. I thought about what I experienced at that time when I went to Berlin, and the oppression. And see, here's the thing, folks. See, I think that there are walls that are sometimes in each one of our lives. There are things that we face, that we come up against, that bring the same type of oppression, and we just want to get out. Do we just want out? Lord, whatever it takes, get me out of this thing, because it's more than I can handle. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, and maybe you're going through that here tonight, and we're going to end by praying on that behalf, but I want to look at how we can tear down these walls and how we can bring about the a new freshness into our lives. And you know the story of Joshua, and the most well-known story in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 6. I'm not going to read this for you, because you have your Bible, and if you don't have a Bible, let me get you one. But you have your Bible. Please do read through this tonight on your own. It's not that many verses. But I want to look at this story, and I want to take a look at how we can tear down those walls that we may have in our life that are keeping us from that freedom. So, Father, we thank you for your word here tonight. And we thank you that you've made a way for us to experience true freedom. Freedom in you, Lord. Freedom from those difficulties. Freedom from those challenges. Freedom from things that keep us bound and keep us from you. So, God, would you guide us tonight? Would you help us to hear from you? God, take away any distractions and help us to be open to what your Spirit says, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it started with a problem. And the problem was that Joshua was to take this land. He was supposed to go into take this land, and we all know the story. And the first city, of course, was Jericho. And here's the problem. There was this wall, and you know about this. And it wasn't just one wall. Archaeologists tell us there were actually two massive stone walls. The outer wall was 6 feet thick and about 20 feet high. And then there was an inner wall that was 12 feet thick and 30 feet high. You're not about to pushed these things down with a strong wind. In between, there was a space similar to what it was in Berlin, that no man's land, that if you get caught between that two places, you're fodder. They're gonna take you out with whatever they got. So here's the problem. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 says, now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. No kidding. No kidding. How in the world are you going to get into a place like that? See, they were told to conquer the city. God told them it. It's your city. But here was this wall. So let me ask you this. See, God, I think, has told you to conquer some stuff in your life. God has given you some promises, which we will look at in just a minute. But there is this wall. There is this thing that keeps us from receiving that which we have been promised to us. And it may be health issues. It may be financial issues. It may be family problems. Walls. There's challenges. There's problems, and we all face them. So what do you do? What do you do when you face those walls? How do you present yourself in a time like that? How do you face the problems when they loom over you? I was reading on the internet. They were talking, and one pastor was talking about different problems. Why, God, do I have to face problems? Like, come on, there's got to be an easier way. Why these issues? And one pastor I read had some five good things that God wants to help us in when it comes to problems. First of all, the problems come because God directs us. God directs us. See, sometimes God needs to light a fire in our lives. He needs to light something in us to get us moving. Sometimes we need to move and we're just sitting idle by, and God sometimes allows those problems to get us going. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 30 says this, and in the one version that I read, it says, sometimes it takes a painful situation to make us change our ways. Sometimes it takes a painful situation to make us change our ways. So problems direct us. Secondly, God uses problems to inspect us. See, people, someone said, people are like tea bags. Come on, not soggy, okay? There are those that may be a little bit soggy. But see, what is inside of you will only come out in hot water. Right? Right? What is inside of you will only come out with hot water. And it's interesting, for those that were here at the memorial for Pastor Laverne Clary, Pastor Brad Thomas was talking about a toothpaste. And he says, you know, he says, when you squeeze that toothpaste, you don't expect ketchup to come out. You don't expect some sort of ointment. You expect toothpaste. So what comes out of us when we get squeezed? See, because that's what problems does. It brings out what's inside of us. Problems. God uses problems to inspect us. Thirdly, God uses problems to correct us. Now, you all know that when a child is told, don't touch the stove, where do they go? Come on. They go straight for that stove. And you're like, don't touch it. Well, guess what? Sometimes they got to touch it to know that it's not something you're going to be touching again. So sometimes God says, all right, you want to go there, you go ahead and go there. I need you to feel the pain so that you're corrected, that you don't go there another time. So God uses problems to correct us. Fourthly, God uses problems to protect us. A problem, listen, and this is a hard one. A problem can be a blessing in disguise. I was reading about a man who had a very good job, and one day the boss came to him and says, "I want you to do something," which was unethical. And this guy says, "Man, I can't do that. My conscience doesn't allow me to do that. And the boss says, that's fine, you're fired. What do? Right? So he had to go through the pains of unemployment and trying to get some sort of work to move ahead. It would have been so easy just to do what the boss said. It's the boss that told me to do it. But he chose the right way. Interesting in this story was 1 year later, the boss was brought before court and was charged for doing some unethical issues. And this guy would have been in the same boat if he would not have said no. God uses problems to protect us. God uses problems, fifthly, to perfect us. See, problems, when responded to correctly, are character builders. I like what this guy said. God is far more interested in your character than your comfort. Did you hear me? God is far more interested in your character than your comfort. The only thing you're going to take to heaven is your soul and your character. Do you get me? And if we don't develop that character, we're going to run into some challenges. So here's the problem. There is a wall. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. There is a wall that the people are facing. And at that point in time, what could they have done? They could have said, man, it's too big. We're out of here. They tried that once. Where did it leave them? 40 years in the wilderness. And see, here's the thing. If we want to move forward, we're going to have to stand up and say, God, I see this wall. Help me to move forward. See, because there is a promise. There is a promise that if we move forward, it says this. Joshua 6 verse 2 says, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho. I love this. I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and its fighting men. NIV says, I have delivered. The King James says, I have given Jericho. It's yours. It's in your hand. It's yours. And I'm just thinking, Joshua, if I would have been there, I would have said, yeah, right. That's mine, yeah? Okay, God, do you not see the obstacles? See, victorious Christians are people who know the promises of God. And people who, they spend time deep in his word, finding out those promises and living according to those promises. See, the thing is, we have a decision. God has given us the promises. You know them, okay? You know them. But the question is, do we actually walk out in those promises? Do we believe them? And do we receive them? Do we accept those promises? Someone said that to believe the promises is like getting a check. To act out or reckon them is to endorse that check and cash it in. See, God wants you to cash the check. Let me ask you, let's take a couple of minutes here. Promises, give me some. What are some of the promises God has given us in his word? A hope and a future. Never leave you or forsake you. Eternal life. Amen. Supply all your needs. He won't give us more than we can bear. Shows us great and mighty things we don't know. Come on, there's got to be a few more than that in the Bible. Long life if you honor your parents. You are going to live a long life. I'm just saying. Anything else? Promises. Peace. You know what, folks? You could probably list a whole bunch of them. I know I put you on the spot. But there is a lot of them in the scripture. You got to hang on to them. You really, really do. A few more that I found. Our weapons are powerful through God. Our battles have all been arranged by the Lord. Think of that. By the way, there's scripture to back this stuff up. You can write them down. You're allowed to write things down here. Our ability is only limited by our faith. And here's some of the scriptures to go along with that. Power in the day of battle, ongoing victory. We will never fight alone. See, let me give you one more. When the battle are ended, we will celebrate the victory in his presence. But see, here's the point. In every one of those, did you notice? It's about battle. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to stand. And Joshua had to do battle. Now, we'll talk about what that looked like in just a second. But you and I have been called not just to sit back and say, bless me, God, and let him shower upon us. But the thing is, there is a process that is required for winning this battle, to bringing down these walls. You know, it's interesting because the process wasn't, I mean, you know the story, but the process was bizarre. It really was. Okay, come on. It's just bizarre. Joshua chapter 6, verse 3 says, God says to me, hey, Joshua, here's what you got to do. You got to march around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horn in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets and all the people give a loud shout, then the walls of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in. Have you ever stopped and thought that God's ways are not only not our ways, but sometimes they're just wild. They're just bizarre. Case, honestly, we've heard this story so many times. I wish we could hear it for the first time here tonight. Can you imagine? Can you imagine these guys, soldiers, walking around? Like, we're not talking some wimpy guys. We're talking fighting men, walking around, carrying their swords, and marching around this wall. Like, and then behind that, these soldiers, there would have been the priests. And behind these priests, there would have been there's a whole procession of people walking around this wall. Now, I'm thinking I probably would have picked a better way to bring down a wall than marching around it. I'm thinking a good missile or me at least a catapult or something. But are you kidding me, God? You want me to march? Yeah, I want you to march. I want you to keep your mouth shut. I want you to march, and the only sound you're going to hear is some trumpets blowing. I can just see James walking out there blowing his horn and marching up around while everybody follows, or the soldiers marching up front, and they're blowing their horns. It doesn't make sense. But see, God's way doesn't always make sense to us as individuals, does it? It doesn't make sense that if you are in debt financially, that the way out of your debt is to put God first. That just doesn't make human sense, that I'm supposed to give a tenth of my money to God when I barely have enough money to pay for my bills. But that's God's way. It doesn't make sense that if we're going through difficulties and disappointments and discouragement, to look at others and to help others and to reach out in kindness to others before we look at ourselves. See, that doesn't make sense. But God's way doesn't always make sense humanly, but it is the best way. So they marched around that city for 6 days. The scripture tells us the priests blowing the trumpets behind the soldiers, that there was the Ark of the Covenant being carried. And you know what's interesting? When I was reading about this, it's interesting when you read what kind of trumpet that they were carrying. Did you get that? It says they were blowing the ram's horn. See, there's two type of trumpets that they used. There was a trumpet that Pastor James plays, which is the silver trumpet, which is a call to battle, or a call to the people to awaken, to let's get moving. And it was that. And there was a second trumpet called the shofar or the ram's horn. And it's interesting because this trumpet was something they used in times of jubilation to march in the year of Jubilee. This is a trumpet they blew when there was celebration to be happening. And this is what they're blowing. And see, I find it interesting because God called them to blow this trumpet because there's no battle here, folks. We don't have to call you to battle. The battle is God's. I just want you to celebrate the victory. I just want you to know that the victory's already won. Just do what I tell you to do, God tells them. Just go marching around. You might as well celebrate because it's already won. But see, the victory's mine. And the challenge with us is that we feel we've got so much to do to make the victory our victory. We've got to do all the right things. And yes, we've got our part to play. But can we hang on to the fact of God's promises when he says something in this word? It's his victory. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's his victory. So we should be celebrating the victory even before we see it. God, thank you. Thank you that I can hold on to this promise that you will come through for me. I love what Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. You know it. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9 says this: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as high as the heavens is above the earth," what? "So high are my thoughts, my ways above yours." God thinks bigger than us. And he can be trusted. So the process, folks, is to trust. It's to trust. It's to trust. They trusted God. They marched around that wall. For 6 days, they marched around that wall. And on the seventh day, they saw the payoff. Joshua chapter 6, verse 20 says, "When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Then they burnt the whole city and everything in it, but they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord. Of the Lord's house." Ordinary soldiers shared the spoils of war that day. Well, they should have, but they didn't. They didn't share the spoils of war that day because it belonged to the Lord. And here's something I want you to think about. See, God has called us to put him first in our lives. See, under any other circumstance, any other battle, the soldiers would have taken the spoils. But in this time, God said, "This is mine. This is my first fruit. This is my tithe. You bring it to me first." And the people said, "You know what? This we will do." See, here's the thing, folks. Sometimes we lose the blessing because we put ourselves first before God. And we say, "God, I want the blessing, and I want what's due me." And God says, "Hold on a second. Hold on. You got it all backwards. It's got to be me first. And then you can have the rest." It's interesting that in this scripture it says that they destroyed with the sword everything living in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkey. Why kill everything? Why would God call them to destroy this entire city? Come on, God, like what's the deal? The children, I mean, they're innocent. What do the cows have to do with it? Why would God call them to destroy everything? See, here's the thing. The city was unspeakably wicked. Unspeakably wicked. And what had happened is that later on, Israel rebelled and they began to take themselves wives and children from other nations, which led them astray. And God says, "This can't happen." He had given this city an opportunity to repent. 400 years, he told them, "Guys, repent." And they chose to live in wickedness. They feared the Israelites, but they did not turn from their sin. See, folks, this is the point. God has called us to distance ourselves from sin. He has called us to keep ourselves away from the things that will destroy us. The quote here from G. Campbell Morgan says, "God is perpetually at war with sin. That is the whole explanation of the extermination of the Canaanites. God is at war with sin. He doesn't want it in our lives, and he doesn't want us to play around with it. And he says, man, get rid of it. Don't allow it to be part of your life. Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 6 verse 18 says, there are six things the Lord can't stand. And he says he can't stand haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension amongst brothers. God hates sin. God hates sin. And folks, I think we have to be careful that we don't allow sin to have a place in our life. G. Campbell Morgan again says this, thank God that he will not make peace with sin in my heart. I bless his name for the thunder of his authority and for the profound conviction that he is fierce and furious in his anger against sin wherever it manifests itself. So God says, hey, here's the thing, folks, the plunder, yeah, that's the next one. Put me first, get rid of anything else, don't allow anything to have its place in your life that will take away from my presence. See, folks, I want you to know something. God has got a victory in store for us. He really, really wants what's best for us. And Israel experienced victory because they were willing to trust God. They were willing to say, God, I don't understand it, but I will march. I will march around the city. And I'm wondering, folks, if we are willing to trust God as well. Though we may not always understand everything, are we willing to trust God and say, God, I will follow you. I will be faithful to you. And then you will experience the victory. 1989, do you know the story? The Eastern Germans, they had enough, and they started to flee. So they would go, they went further east, they went through Hungary and began to escape. And finally, on November 9th, you remember the day, I certainly remember the day. Remember November 9th, 1989, when people started to hammer and take down that wall. Next picture, please. And they crashed and crashed until that wall fell. You can put the last one up there. I love this picture, because it's a picture of East German soldiers saying, is it real? Are we finally free? Has it been broken? And it's a beautiful picture because it's a picture of you and I, because this is real, folks. God wants to break down walls in your and my life. And I'm going to ask something here in closing. And I want you to examine your life right now. Are there walls there that you just want it broken down? Things in your life you're looking at and going, oh man, if only I could be free from this thing. Whatever that may be. And I want us to take a few minutes in prayer here this evening and say, God, I want victory. And he may bring it in a way you do not expect. He may ask you to do things that may not seem logical considering your circumstance. He may ask you to march. And you're like, God, I can't even, are you kidding me? He may ask you to shout. He may ask you to blow the horn of victory. And it may not seem like it makes a lot of sense. But whatever God is telling you to do in your situation, can I ask you to be obedient to that? So if you can, if you are here tonight and you're saying, I got walls, I just want deliverance, can I get you to put your hand up so we can pray for you? Yeah, I want you to look around, folks, and see the hands. Keep them up, please, because I want us to be a family tonight. What I want us to do, can we take some time to pray? There's a few here. I mean, I'm sure there's more than that, but can you just gather around the people that had their hands up? Let's be a family here tonight, and let's pray for these people. Want to pray for them back here? Yeah, let's just take time. If there's anybody else that needs prayer, you don't have to tell me what it is. If you feel comfortable talking to with the people that are praying with you, that would be great. Pastor James is just going to play a little bit for us. Anybody else, you say, yeah, there's things in my life I need prayer for. Walls, right up here. Can we have somebody just come on and join her up here? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, start praying for these folks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. You're a good God. Oh, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you that there is no wall that cannot be brought down or scaled or dealt with by the power of your presence, by the power of your divine, almighty hand. And God, you know the walls that people are dealing with here tonight, the challenges, the problems, the frustrations, the needs. God, you see them. And we can try to do our part to make it better. And we may be partially successful. But it's got to be you, God. It's got to be your spirit working things out so that we have victory. In the middle of it all, Father, in the middle of these challenges, as we've heard here tonight, God, help us to see how these problems, how these difficulties are shaping us. That what would come out of us would not be cursing or anger or frustration or all these emotions that are very real. Lord, we want to be honest with you. We don't want to pretend that it's not hurting us. We want to be real, God. And we feel those emotions. We feel the anger. We feel the frustration. We feel like screaming, why, God? Why are we have to suffer like this? God, I pray that as we look up to you, that what would come out of us would be you. Would be your grace, would be your strength, would be your peace, would be your love, would be your joy. Father, I pray it wouldn't be something we fabricate, but it would be because of your spirit in us that, Lord, we would just absolutely exude the fruit of the spirit. Lord, some of the challenges that people are facing here tonight have been challenges that aren't just new to us, that haven't just started yesterday or last week, but challenges they've dealt with for quite some time. And God, you see that it becomes very exhausting. Lord, we're family here tonight. You've called us to be brothers and sisters. You've called us to hurt for each other. Corinthians tells us that if one member of the body is hurting, every member hurts. So we hurt with our brothers and sisters. We mourn with them. Father, we feel their pain. So I pray in Jesus' name as we gather around tonight that it would be a picture of us gathering around, not just at this occasion, but to stand with our brothers and sisters during those challenging times, and to not to give up, to intercede, and to trust for victory. So, Lord, again, we lift these burdens to you. We lay them at the cross, and we look up to you, and we say, Daddy, oh, Holy Daddy, would you help us? Would you deliver us? Would you guide us? Would you provide for us? Would you bring about the relief that we need? We love you, Lord. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name.